Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
This has been great to be part of this Discipleship Essentials 4 weeks. And Randy started it out and with really drawing us into the Lordship of Jesus. And then Hillary, she was around here. I don't know if she is right now. Over there. Just an excellent word on treasuring God's word. And I'm looking out. There's faces I don't know, but that doesn't mean that you have not been here a long time. Am I wording that right? I still don't know very many people, but I'm the pinch hitter for the third Sunday. And I want to tell you, could we pray first? Would that be okay? Would that be okay? Lord, we just give you this time. And please help us to settle in. And just to receive what we're supposed to hear today. We thank you for the joy and the worship, Lord, in this world that so much is going on. You are immovable, you're unshakable, and we stand upon the rock of who you are. I pray every heart will sense your presence in this moment and that gold nugget will be taken home by each person, from your word, from your heart, directly to them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, you guys. So I want to tell you what Grace had asked me to come pray about doing a discipleship series, and I was gone several weekends, so I couldn't do the whole thing, and that's why we have different ones teaching. But to me, if you were to ask the essentials of following Jesus, of being one of his disciples, it would be just these very simple things. And it takes us back to what Randy first shared on that first Sunday, that following Jesus is not a burden. It's not a heavy thing. You know, religion puts weight on us. It puts the onus on us to get it right. It's on us to do it, to get to the next level or whatever that prescribed religion might be. But on Christianity, it's all about it's done. And we rest and we stand upon that platform of the finished work of Christ, and we just simply come. So following Jesus, when it starts to feel heavy and like too much, then we've missed him somewhere. He's standing over here, and we have literally just walked by. I know I can't go far because of the online, high online people. Because I'm one that will be down there if left to my own devices. And Randy talked about the key, and that is just surrender. Nothing takes place with Jesus without just saying, Lord, I can't do it. I need your help. I don't care how selfish that sounds. He will take it. He will take it and run. Lord, I cannot do this life on my own. This day, I cannot face my workplace. I cannot face another news report out of Ukraine. I cannot, whatever your cannot is, he is greater still. But even all the joys and the blessings, they are so much richer in him. Yeah. Just that sweet, here I am, Lord, that daily walk. And I don't know if you've noticed, I'm going to put it this way. This is a journey, and that's what that picture's about. It's a person with a map. Because our walk with Jesus, our life of discipleship with him, just really learning to come alongside, to really let him take our burdens, that whole scripture that Randy brought in the first message, his burden is easy, his yoke is light, is that coming alongside and putting all the burden on him and him willingly taking it. It's a sweet exchange. But it is a journey. And this is our map, right? That's what Hillary brought to us last week. This word that is 2,000 years old, that is alive and well and speaks to us so deeply today. It's just incredible to me that I can hear the voice of God. I can sense his presence merely by opening it to give me that fresh way of what's my true north. What does he have for me? This is the true north compass right here. It is the comforter, it's the medicine bag, it's the healer, it's the counselor, it's the guidance giver. Very simple stuff. And today I want to talk about what I think is just a powerful tool. And it really goes back to Grace came up and gave us that sweet and powerful word of what's our source. Because again, if it's about us getting it right, we just will miss every time. But our source is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's the message today. And where I'm going with this, again, I see faces I don't know. Please don't feel singled out because I don't know about half of you. So don't feel like, oh, she's looking at me and she's talking about me because I don't know her either. I just don't know some of you at all. But where I'm going with this is what the Bible terms the second experience of the Holy Spirit after receiving Christ into our hearts, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with a look briefly at the spiritual gift. There are nine of them, nine power gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gift of spiritual language or speaking in tongues. So don't freak out if you have walked in here for the first time. Again, I don't know you, and you think, what in the world is going to take place? Nothing, we won't let anything weird happen, okay? Anna will be the weirdest thing that happened. And her Easter announcement. That's as far as we're going to go today, okay? Go, Anna. And that's, you bring such joy to us, you know, and we just love it. Are you okay with me? Are you okay? I so want to get down here because I feel like I'm up on this, I am up on a platform, but it really, it's trying for me. So anyway, this is something that Randy and I teach often. We have the great privilege of going to Asia twice a year, which we haven't through COVID, but even this spring on Zoom, via Zoom, we will be teaching on what I'm going to share today, and we take a week to do it. 5 days of 3-hour classes, I'm just saying, but let's get real. Half of it's translated into Mandarin. We go to Taiwan. So 1.5 hours each day. And the more I thought about it, I have notes. I'm going to get them out. I have my Bible. I have verses for the screen. But the more I practiced yesterday, the worse it got. Can I just say? And I just shared this at camp with students from high school and middle school students. And it took me just a little bit. But you guys, I don't have that kind of time today, and you don't either. And I don't want to waste any more time. So do you mind terribly, forgive me, Grace, I am not going to reference every Bible scripture, but if you have questions for me after, I would be happy to give you my notes or to share with you. But I'm just literally going to speak from my heart. And that is unlike me because I feel like I'm a teacher to my core. I want people to love this book as much as I do. I want them to see the Old Testament anew, and I want to draw from the scriptures where I'm sharing from, but I just don't have that time today. So here goes. We're going to just jump in, and we're going to start with, I want to ask you a quick question. One of the main things the Holy Spirit does, and if you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16 tell you so much. It's where Jesus really concentrates on teaching on who the Holy Spirit is. But one of the things he brings out there is he manifests the Lord. He brings us into the Lord's presence. He reveals Jesus to us. And there will be times many of us will say, and we're talking about peace in the midst of chaos and joy when things are going haywire. I want to ask you, I literally would like some of you to kind of yell out to me, if you want to wave your hand so I can point at you, but you can just yell out, When we were in worship today, did you sense something? Or this week, when you were in the middle of something and you just knew the Lord was with you, what did that feel like for you? Does that make sense? What was the actual physical feeling or the thing in your mind? Yes, Miss Emma. She felt like somebody held her hand. And online, once you write down, what does the Lord's presence generally feel like to you? Or what did you sense in the last few moments or this week? Somebody else. Yes, back there. Oh, that you felt his. So you felt a strong tugging on the heart. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Anna.
Clarity.
You know, just all of a sudden focusing. Yeah, Doug.
Peace.
Peace.
A great joy.
A great joy.
A lot of laughter.
Love and laughter. Many times I will feel like I'm full. Like my innermost being is just so full. And from someone who many years ago could never be satisfied by anything, coming to Jesus and sensing his fullness has totally freed me from that need to have more, more, more. Peace. That tugging, that real sense I'm supposed to be somewhere and I'd better get there. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who makes the Father and the Son real to us. We have to understand that he is fully God. We have one God, but three persons. Just like, this is elementary, you guys, but just like an apple has a skin and the fleshy part that we like in the core, they're all the apple, but they function differently, yet they're all the apple. I know that's so elementary. But he is co-equal, co-divine, co-existent, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And he was there in creation. Almost every song we sang today had some reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have to go back to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, just briefly, you guys check in with me. We're doing high level. We are not going to do anything deep here. But we have to go back to little Christianity 101, if that's okay, just basic Christian. And I'm sorry, I'm taking us all back to Sunday school for just a moment. Again, not with much detail. But the Father's the master designer. He spoke what creation as we know it into being, the Word. The Word is the Lord Jesus. That's 1 John 1:14. Jesus is the Word of God. He formed man of the dust of the earth, and woman came from his side, his co-laborer, his co-partner. But it says he breathed upon him. God breathed into man his very spirit. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, I want to sound like I know a lot. It's ruah in the Hebrew, and that's Hebrew, Old Testament. Greek is pneuma. They both mean the same thing for what we translate spirit in our Bibles. And ruah and pneuma mean spirit, but they also mean breath, wind, breeze, a current of air. So the triune God created, the Father designed, he spoke the word Jesus, and the breath of life that breathed life into man was the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. That holy breath. But man, can I say this? Is it okay, Grace? Screwed up big time. He was given everything in the garden, Adam and Eve, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the enemy came along like he always does and says, you know what? God's holding out on you. There's a whole lot more out there for you than what that good, loving God has. That desire for more when they had it all. They had God's breath within him. They communed with him. There was no, there was just perfect intimacy, nothing separating. But we all know that they ate from that tree and ushered in evil. We wonder why the world's in the state it is. It's because man allowed it. Come on, evil, come on in. Lots of crazy things happened with that fall, with that bite that caused man, what they call it, the fall, because he fell from such a high and wonderful place. A few of the things that happened is the dominion God had given man was handed back to not the Father, but the enemy who had tempted them. That's why there's so much evil and destruction. Another thing that happened was that big divide. Holy Father could not no longer have that intimate relationship with the man and woman he had created. And later Jesus would come to be that perfect sacrifice, fully God, fully man, laying down his life. And that's why when we simply say, Jesus, I need you, I receive you into my heart, that ushers you into the kingdom of God. That simple prayer. That heart's cry. It doesn't have to have any special wording. It's just, I need you, God. And he comes. And relationship can be restored. But another thing that happened that I want to key in on here that has to do with the Holy Spirit is that God breath was not only that oxygen that fills our lungs that we need to live, but it's the Spirit within us. That place where we commune with God, because we too are tripart beings created in God's image, but we're body, soul, and spirit. Are you guys tracking with me? And we get that we get a body. We all know that, okay? Anna worked out. She's sore. She's got a body, okay? Chris fell down, kind of, forgive me, I'm exposing you, Chris, but he fell down trying to take a selfie on his roller skates. I'm just telling the whole story, just right out there, nothing sacred. Hurt, kind of injured his hand a little bit. He's got a body. But what's our soul? Our soul is our personality. It is our mind. It is our heart. It is the way we think. It is our emotions. It is our intellect and our ability to choose. That's the realm of the soul. But our spirit, that's the deep part where we commune with God. But what happened was in that garden when the Father said, you know, if you eat it, you have everything. Just don't eat of this one tree because you will surely die. Well, Adam and Eve didn't keel over. I mean, right then. You read that they lived long, 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 long lives before they physically died. But what did their body did immediately start to go into decay, age, and grow older. But what did die in that instant was that spirit part, that God-breathed part. That's what died instantly. And this is why it's so important when Nicodemus, some of you will know this story out of the Gospel of John. Will you guys, okay, you know, I have slides and everything. We're just bypassing it all. Is that all right? We're just talking today? Yeah. Thank you. I need all the encouragement. I'm just insecure enough, I need some affirmation, okay? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I need it. That spirit part of us died. And this is why when Nicodemus in John 3 comes to Jesus, he comes and said, I know you're something special. This is Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. But Jesus knows what's in his mind already, what's in Nicodemus's mind. He wants to know who I am and how can I know the kingdom of God? How can I live with God? How can I get back to that intimacy that I read about way back when? And Jesus tells him, he said, you will not see the kingdom of God unless you are born again of the Spirit. That's those simple words, to become a born-again Christian. We don't say it that much anymore, but there was a time where born again, there were books and songs, but it's powerful scripture. And why must we be born again of the Spirit? Because our spirit was dead. But when we received Jesus into our hearts, however you did it, I was on the bathroom floor of my aunt's house when I was 14 years old, when I said, Jesus, I don't want to do this life alone. I was born again. And once again, the Holy Spirit breathed life into my spirit, spiritual CPR, and brought it back to life. You could do all the Christian things. You could go to church every Sunday. You could be hours in the Word and on your knees in prayer. But if you've not made that simple request, Lord Jesus, come into my life. My life is yours. That's when being born again takes place. And the Bible tells us that we are completely filled in our spirit with the Spirit of the living God. Not sparkling water, but the Spirit of the living God. But Jesus said, there is more. And Anna, because you're just the cutest in the room. No, I'm not going to open up. There's a beautiful verse, and I do have this on a slide, I think. The John 7 verse. Are you able to find it? On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, Jesus spoke, concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And what that's saying there is Jesus saying, I will satisfy your every thirst, your every hunger, your every longing. I will not only do that, I can heal you. I can heal your mind. I can heal your body. I can heal your soul. I can get you on track, because we still live in an evil, broken world. But if you walk with me, you'll escape a lot of it. And you'll have my joy as your strength, as your source. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but this is something we experience. If you've ever stood in a river somewhere, you feel it. You feel that current washing over you. And he's talking about having it wash up in you. All the things that we talked about here were physical senses. And yes, we do not base our faith on our feelings. But if we do not have feelings and we do not have the presence of God in our lives, it is all just Christian theory and not reality. And I want to tell you, when I started living this way, I didn't have to work at ministry. People just wanted what I had. Plugged into the source, just as grace said. But Jesus said something in that verse there, or actually it's the John teaching it. He's saying Jesus cried this out, but he said the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given because Jesus had not yet died and been resurrected. And Jesus himself said, you know what, guys, it's to your advantage. I think this is John 14, that I go, that I return, that I physically die. I have to do that for your salvation, be that perfect blood sacrifice. But I'll tell you where the power is in the resurrection. I will come again, and those that believe in me will rise with me, but they'll experience my life here as well. But he said, it is to your advantage that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Spirit. And each one of you can walk in that same power that I have, that he walks in, the Spirit of the living God, living inside of me, fully bringing to life back my once dead spirit, bringing it back to life. That's the mark of a Christian. And that's why he says there, it's not going to take place until after I go. And that's exactly what happened. We know the story. Jesus, we're going to celebrate Good Friday, and we're going to celebrate Easter. But on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus came into the upper, one of the rooms, I won't say the upper room, but one of the rooms, the disciples were cowering in fear. This is John 20, and I think I might have this scripture, Hillary. And he appeared to them in physical form. This is the power of the gospel. And it says here, Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, this is Jesus' words. This isn't Sue B's words, you know, it's Jesus' words. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful, that word spirit that means breath in both the Old and New Testament? he breathed once again, and that's when they were saved, as we would say in Christianese. That's when they were made right with God. Their spirit came to life. He breathed on them. But he also tells them, and it's recorded in Luke 24, he said, you've received the Holy Spirit. We know that by this verse that was shortly after the resurrection. But several days later, he says, and now, however, you have the Spirit, but I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power from on high. A second experience of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened. 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered in the upper room. They were praying and worshiping, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they were filled with joy, and they began to, and it says that the Holy Spirit came as it were like a wind, one thing which again is so cool. But the men and women gathered in that room sensed their spirit overflowing, and they began to speak in languages that were unknown to them. Now, there was a great feast going on. It was the Feast of First Fruits, or Pentecost. And those that were outside, they must have spilled out into the temple grounds. And people all around them from all over the world had come to gather for this feast. And people from different parts of the world heard these men and women speaking in languages they knew they did not personally know. But God was giving them the ability to do this. They heard them declare the wonderful works of God. And this is that spiritual gift that comes with what the Bible calls the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In all four Gospels, John the Baptist is recorded as saying, Jesus, I baptize you in water, but Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know if you noticed, and please forgive, well, I'm not even going to say it. Forgive me. The baptism slide, it had a misspelling, so it's, yeah. It was so cute. But that word baptism, you think of water baptism, going down and coming up, it's the same word used for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This second experience, that overflow, that I'm not going to demonstrate here. But you get what I'm saying, right? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit in his fullness. But Jesus tells us there's a second experience where there's an overflow. And with it comes the release of spiritual gifts. The nine of them are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Words, wisdom, knowledge, miracles, healing, discernment, the gift of spiritual language and the interpretation of language. This is why it is so important. And so when we talk about discipleship essentials, if you were to ask me, and this is my opinion, this is no one else in the opinion, I'm not the lead pastor here, I'm just an associate here. So I let the lead pastors, Grace and Matt, off the hook if they would disagree with me. I don't think they would, but just in case. To me, an essential for following Jesus, and one of the best parts of following him, is that overflow of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That breath of life, not only nourishing me, but spilling out onto others. That when I lay hands on the sick, and someone needs my touch, Jesus' touch through me, that I can extend that prayer. Now, again, does everybody get healed every time I pray? No, but you know what? More often than not, they do. And we won't ever know until we let the Holy Spirit really rule us. And again, that journey, again, it's a journey. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to fall sometimes, but we learn from them all. We always fail forward in Jesus, right? But the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to key in on just this gift of tongues. And then I'm going to give you a practical way to receive the baptism if you have not, or you're just wondering. I want to say this before I would forget it. Are you guys okay with me that I'm kind of on a journey here? I truly believe that most Christians probably have received a second experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most likely everybody in this room, whether you've acknowledged that or had a name for it. Those times where you have come to God and in deep surrender and really giving up to him, there's always, almost always to a T, and a sense of release. I was, quote unquote, baptized in the Holy Spirit 2 weeks before someone explained it to me out of the scriptures what had happened. But I knew my life was different. I mean, the trees were greener, the sky was bluer, the flowers. The reality of Jesus was so profound. Now, I had a very, I was sitting by myself, and I had a very, like I said, didn't know what happened. I was just sitting there. I was in a church service in a very staid denominational church, but the Spirit, I just sensed this warmth rising me. It was just like, and I knew it was God. Now, my dear Randy, sitting right here, he prayed and asked the Lord for the baptism, and he received, but he didn't feel much of anything. The feelings came later. It's individual to each one of us. We receive the baptism by faith, just like we ask Jesus into our lives by faith. But this spiritual language, I just want to talk 1 second about. Paul writes about it, and it sounds so spooky and so crazy if not heard it or been experienced it or exposed, but it becomes the most natural thing in the world. It is a language that the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, prays to the throne room of God. It is a direct line of prayer that bypasses your understanding. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He writes, when I pray in the Spirit, it is bypassing my intellect. I am speaking mysteries to God. Things by mystery means I don't know what I'm saying, but I am trusting the Holy Spirit is praying. Now, I don't know about you. This is essential to me as discipleship. And I want to speak to some of you that maybe have already received this gift, but you've let it kind of linger or lay on the shelf for a while. This is your power tool. The best teaching on prayer I ever got was this simple. Pray what I know about something. Pray what I sense about that thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? You pray what you know, but you pray what you sense, and then you pray in the Spirit. You've got all your bases covered. That's how I'm praying for Ukraine right now. I pray what I know, I pray what I sense, and I pray in the Spirit. And it bypasses this to go here. And it has been, there was a Dateline show. Some of you, that's an old news program that did a whole thing on this. And they had some charismatic Christians, and they had done the little thingy bobs on their head, you know, neuro mapping. And as they prayed, when they spoke in their normal languages, that part of the brain lights up. But when they prayed in the Spirit, that remained dormant. And, you know, just the wonder of it. You can watch it on YouTube, you guys. This is a powerful tool. Now, how do we receive? And this is how I'm going to close. We only have like about 3 minutes left. Because I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, first I want to encourage you, if you've not yet asked Jesus into your life, that you would make it this day, would you? Or at least, let's put it this way, highly consider that there might be a God, that Jesus might be real, and that he has real power to change and transform lives. Would you maybe, for the first time this week, say, Lord, if you are real, would you prove yourself to me? Would you show me something? I can guarantee you he will if you're honestly seeking. But if you're a believer here today, a Christian believer, and you're not sure where you are at with this baptism stuff, and maybe you're just not ready, you know, I'm just really content where I am. And you know what? God is so gentle. Again, that wonderful yoke. He is gentle and easy and light. He doesn't go faster than we can go. Now, yes, he may come and give us those tugs. You know, come along, sweetheart. Come on, come on. But he doesn't yank. Very rarely does he yank. But if you're a believer here today, I just want to give you some practical tips that you can take home, and sometime this week you get along with the Lord And I'm going to make myself available after the service. If anybody would just like prayer today, say, you know what, I'm ready now. I'd just like to get this settled. I just want to move on in Jesus. I'll be here. But practically, here's how we go. When Randy and I are leading students, and this is what I did at camp the other day, the few that wanted to linger and stay and say, yeah, I want to have this. I want that extra overflow of the Holy Spirit. What I would tell you to do is get alone in your bedroom, your living room, somewhere quiet where you won't be interrupted, and just focus on the Lord. Just start offering praise and worship just so you can get your thoughts directed on Him. And when you feel ready, just simply say, Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. And Hillary, could I get that one slide of Luke 11? I think I gave it to you. I'm pulling this out. And that's as easy as it is. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. This is Jesus talking. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Okay, next one. Whoop. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? But if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It is that simple. Lord, please overflow my life. I don't care what the words are. To be baptized means to be inundated, flooded. It means to be under the influence. Just you think of water baptism. Lord, whatever you want to do, just I want what you have for me. I want the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, in that moment that you pray, you have received by faith. But I want you to linger in that presence. Because I believe at the very least you will sense you will feel peace. Just keep concentrating on the Lord. Lord, just worship him. Thank him. Thank him for what he's just given you. And if you want to, if you feel ready, again, no compulsion here, no making, no have to. But if you want to, you know, I could really use that prayer language, Lord. There are times when my English just doesn't cut it, my Spanish doesn't cut it. I just feel like I'm flailing in the dark, and I would just love to have that direct line to your throne room. What I would encourage you to do is then start praising out loud. Thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Loud enough for you to hear it. You don't have to be loud, but just whispers, Lord, you're just so good. I would really like this gift. And what you're going to do next is just begin to speak. A syllable or two that's not a known language to you. It could be ka, ta, koto. It could be anything like that. And what I want you to think of is that wonderful story in the Bible. And worship team, why don't you come on up? Where Peter wanted to walk on the water, and he was sitting in the boat, and he asked, the Lord was walking on the water towards him, and he said, Lord, I want to walk. And Jesus, again, didn't yank him out of the boat, but Peter had to swing his leg over the side. And when you start to speak, and it's going to be hard at first. I know us adults, it is easier for kids. I want to tell you, you start, the Holy Spirit will rise up to meet you. And you relax, you keep your mind and heart on Jesus, and the words will start to come. You can stop it or start it. It's not going to overtake you. It's not scary. It's not going to make you weird. It's not going to do anything, but you will start to speaking in another language. Sometimes it's real breathy. Sometimes it might just be the one or two words. This is how it was for Randy. And then later, as he relaxed, the language developed. And yes, you may speak in a known language. Randy's been known to speak in Mandarin, in Spanish, and one other, Italian. But you may speak in the language of angels at 1 Corinthians 13, maybe something completely unknown to you. But it's that easy. So would you stand with me now, and we're going to close out the meeting, and we're going to sing the chorus or the bridge of one of the songs. And as we do, again, there's no compulsion here. We're not, the service is over. I'll close it after we sing the song. But would you come to the Lord, regardless of what you thought about what I said today, we could all use more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.